What's that smell?
Movie fans, welcome to a brand new podcast here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network, From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen. For those who don't know me, I am one of your co-hosts, the Cowboy. You may know me from This Week in the NFL and some other content that I've been on very sparingly in my years as a North-South Connection and Place to Be podcast member. Really excited about this new endeavor. And joined by my good buddy from Mississippi, Logan Crossland. How you doing, Logan?
I'm doing great, Roger. How you doing?
Oh, doing great, my friend. So Logan and I, we had been talking, and we're both big movie fans, and we're both big wrestling fans. So we were thinking, we said, well, there's got to be a way to kind of combine the two of those things into something that maybe three or four people out there would want to listen to if we did it on a monthly basis. And that's where this idea was born. So what me and Logan are going to be doing for you is every show, we're going to pick a movie starring a wrestler. And we're going to talk about that movie. We have some categories. We're going to have some fun. And I would highly encourage folks to either watch the movie before you listen to the show or do both at the same time, kind of do a live watch. Hey, I remember when Logan talked about that scene as an example. So Logan, the first movie we chose, why don't you tell folks about that?
We chose the 1989 classic, No Holds Barred, with Hulk Hogan and Tiny Lister. So I'm really excited to talk about this one. I had actually never seen it before, so I'm really looking forward to talking about it.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah, so Logan and I, there's a little bit of an age difference here. Logan had never seen it. I'm not sure he was born when it came out. I went to see it in the theater. I was about 10 years old. I went to see it in the theater with my dad. Very clear memories of it. Was a big wrestling fan at the time too, so remember them working Zeus into the actual wrestling shows then. And I was like a huge Zeus mark as a 10-year-old, Logan. I thought he was like the biggest badass in the world, and I at the time I was actually rooting for him to beat Rip. Did you find yourself in that scenario at all?
Yeah, like you said, I wasn't born at that time, so I was about 4 years away. But I could see where a person who kind of likes the heels could have kind of gone against Hulk Hogan at that point, because you know he was kind of getting to the point where he was getting a little overplayed. So I could see you kind of going for the heel for sure.
Yeah, and I would say it was less of a negative on Hogan, and more of a positive on Zeus. So I don't know, you know, Logan, we've known each other a while, but I'm not a big like work rate guy. Like I like the behemoths, Batista, guys like that. Zeus, the ultimate non-work rate behemoth, right? Had like one move, the forearms to the neck. I just loved every second of it. I thought he was awesome. So What do you think of the movie overall, Logan? Since you have never seen it before, I'm interested in your thoughts, and I'll give you mine. Just kind of the movie as a whole.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it in our chat over the week, kind of as we were prepping for it. It's really absurd, honestly. It's kind of an absurd movie as a whole, and just everything that goes on is just crazy and wacky and all that kind of stuff. But it's very fun at the same time. It's a ton of fun to just watch Hulk Hogan kind of try his foot in acting for the first time. And like you said, Zeus is a very good, intimidating bad guy, kind of an unstoppable force for Hogan to kind of go, or Rip in the movie to go up against. And Brell, the main bad guy, the TV executive, he's really good. He's really good at playing a piece of shit. So I was a big fan of his character, but overall, it was really fun. It's obviously super absurd because Hogan's just kind of playing himself. kind of the over the top crazy wrestler that he is. So, but I really enjoyed it for sure.
Same. I don't think I had seen it in at least 20 years, probably more than that, probably at least maybe even 25 years. And so it felt like pretty dated watching it, right? It felt like an older movie more so than I had remembered it. The production value, average at best. The acting, you know, generally outside. The acting in this movie was such that the guy who played Brill might as well have been like Robert De Niro. Like, I mean, he was, you know, he was far and away the best actor in the whole movie. But I thought he did a great job. But overall, real fun watch, quick watch. I enjoyed a lot of it. One of the questions I had, they're interested in your thoughts on, why do you think they named him Rip instead of just, I mean, you kind of alluded to this. He very much just played Hulk Hogan. He wrestled in the WWF. Mm-hmm. Why even change the character?
I'm not sure. They kind of changed his color.
No different.
Yeah, I say he's literally plays the same exact character, but I mean, he changed his colors to like the teal and white instead of the red and yellow. So I'm guessing they just kind of wanted to separate him from like the I'm not real sure. I can't give you a solid answer, but I think they just kind of wanted to separate Hulk Hogan to kind of make him a little bit more human like, even though he's kind of superhuman in the movie at the same time. So I'm not real sure, but yeah, I kind of like the color scheme change and that he kind of played somebody different for sure.
Do you think some of it might have been them trying to sell some Rip stuff? I think that might have been part of it too.
Well, yeah. That's probably a good point too. It's probably a merch grab. And like you were talking about with the production quality of this movie, you can definitely tell that Vince McMahon was he wasn't in charge, but he was kind of somewhat up in the top with the directing and all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of tell that he's a major influence in this movie because it's very over the top, like the WWF was at the time.
In some ways, it felt like he had like full creative control, even though
you
don't know if that was the case, but he probably, like you said, huge influence on the movie. So just talking about the plot, it's thin, but we could lay it out for the listeners here. Rip, WWF champion, I believe. Mm-hmm. Brill is the, I guess almost like a Ted Turner, right? But this was before then. But Brill wanted to kind of bring Rip over to his network. Brill was a nasty network executive. And Rip, being the wholesome Hulk Hogan guy that he is, you know, Brill gave him a blank check. Rip said, essentially, I don't care about your money. You know, I'm more principled than that. So Brill starts his own thing, which is Battle of the Tough Guys. Where you get, and we'll talk about this, Logan, but you get some real interesting characters in Battle of the Tough Guys. Kind of, it's almost like an open competition fight club. One of the interesting things about the movie is that there's no mention or no, it's not played at all that wrestling's not real. Wrestling is real in this movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Battle of the Tough Guys, and then Zeus, played by Tiny Lister, rest in peace, just recently passed mm-hmm. away.
Absolutely.
Zeus comes into Battle of the Tough Guys. He is an ex-con, just a mega, mega heel, just destroys everybody. That sets up the big Zeus and Rip match that ends the movie. And there's a lot going on in between there, but as you might imagine, Rip takes it at the end. And Brill actually dies, which I think was pretty dark, which we can talk about. That came out of left field for me because it was like, this is kind of a kid's movie, and then he gets electrocuted and his body is there. But so, Logan, what was your favorite individual scene in this movie?
I have to definitely go with the final fight scene. It was just awesome to watch Zeus and Rip kind of go back and forth and really trade some big blows and stuff like that. So really watching them kind of throw big bombs at each other at the end and kind of, you know, getting that big climax where he kind of goes into the ring and it kind of collapses with him inside of it. That was a really cool visual for sure. But yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite scenes. What did you think? What was your favorite?
Yeah, so for me, it was I did love that scene as well. And there's a lot going on in that scene where they portray Rip as being like a big dummy a little too much for my liking. You know, there's some definitely some 1980s wrestling and just kind of culture stuff in this movie that I don't think would I think it would be a little different today. But that scene was great, and I mean, it looked like where it looked like he had beaten Rip, and then turns around, he's doing the Zeus thing, and Brill's telling him to turn around, and I mean, it's just awesome. Really good climax there. For me, my favorite scene was, and I kind of felt bad watching it, but I thought it was the best Zeus scene. And it was where Zeus cripples Hogan's little brother.
Okay, I gotcha.
So like the way the whole thing worked, where Rip's little brother and his buddy, they go to a battle of the tough guys, which is in some it's like Freddy Krueger's lair, right?
Yeah, like some like crazy industrial factory or something like that.
But they're like wearing their Rip stuff, and I like the way the whole scene plays out. Like it was probably a bad idea to do that. And then everybody's running away, and they like run into Brill, and Brill sees the Rip stuff and figures out that it's Rip's brother. And then they actually let Rip's brother get like a little bit of offense in on Zeus. I think it was like the most offense anyone had gotten in on Zeus.
Yeah,
to absolutely. That point in the movie. But then Zeus like puts him in the hospital, and he does that Zeus scream, the really loud rah scream that he does.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was fantastic.
Yeah, definitely a solid scene. I enjoyed that part too. I kind of felt bad for poor Randy though. But that actor has like always played bad guys in shows that I've watched, so I kind of didn't feel bad for him at the same time.
Good to see him get the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, just
saying.
A little bit.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, and there's some others. There were some other scenes we can talk about. What do you think of the two guys who were Brill's kind of henchmen?
Yeah, I think they played their part. They were just kind of goofy little comedic characters that kind of played off of him and were like yes men. And they kind of reminded me of Patterson and Briscoe in the Attitude Era when they were the Stooges. They kind of seemed like to kind of be based off of somebody like that. So, but yeah, I mean, they played their role. I don't know that they were super necessary to the plot or anything like that, but they were funny and they played off Brill pretty well.
I thought they were funny, and I thought that whole dynamic was one of the best parts of the movie. So another scene that I really liked was when they went to the underground wrestling bar there before Battle of the Tough Guys, and they have the bathroom, the teeny wiener scene.
Oh yeah.
That had me rolling around on the floor. But what do you think? So you had the teeny wiener guy, and it seemed like kind of all the wrestlers that Brill was lining up for this Battle of the Tough Guys were all like real like, you know, unsophisticated, I guess would be a nice way to say it. Like, I'm not sure what they were going for there. Cause you know, like you said, like Vince was very involved in the movie, and I mean, they really, other than Rip, every other wrestler or tough guy in this movie was made to look like a total doofus.
Yeah. I do think Vince kind of likes his hillbillies too, though. So he kind of went for like the crazy kooky Westerner kind of guys, the crazy cowboys, because Stan
Deliverance,
Hansen
was like a Deliverance type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Stan Hansen was another wrestler. He was the he was kind of the main guy in the bar in the underground fighting originally. He was the guy that had the big dip spin, and he's the guy that said they had tiny wangers and all that. So, but yeah, I think Vince just kind of has an idea of like what kind of person is a wrestler in his mind. So he kind of thinks those kind of dumb southern redneck kind of guys kind of fit the bill in that type of scenario. So I think that's kind of Vince's just twisted mind of how those kind of people act.
All right, I'm with you. It was very, very caricature-y.
Right? No, you're very right. Everybody other than Rip and Zeus are just like, they have a real animal magnetism to them, and they're pretty spotty.
LaGrinch, he was another one.
Oh, he, yeah.
His thing was the big LaGrinch. Yeah. Real interesting guy. Then one more scene I want to talk about. When Rip goes and busts up Zeus's gym, there was so much going on there, right? Like, one, like, how's he getting, like, I guess, how does he know where the gym is? Like, who knew? Boy, like, how does he get into the gym? There's nobody at the gym. There's not even an attendant or anything. And then all the, like, mind control stuff that Brill was using on Zeus. Like, in every TV in the gym, it was Brill telling Zeus that Rip thinks you're a piece of shit. Rip thinks you're lower than the maggots or whatever the hell he said.
Yeah.
And I thought that scene had there was a bit to unpack there, but I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good in kind of showing how, like, Zeus, it feels like when Zeus came in, he was already nuts, right? And it at least gave some rationale for why he, like, hated Rip so much.
Yeah, it was nice for Brill to kind of give him that extra motivation. Like, he already hated Rip, but he wanted, like, the fact that Brill could get into his head and kind of convince him that he was a little bit more of an asshole, and, like, he really wanted to get to him and everything like that was a good way to kind of build the tension. And, you know, like you said, Rip had kind of been a wholesome character for the most part of the movie, probably the first 45 minutes or so. And this kind of gives him some motivation to kind of have some rage and build up a little bit of, you know, wanting to get back at him for hurting his brother and kind of messing with his girlfriend and all that. So like you said, it was a really good scene, and it kind of built to the climax for sure.
Yeah, and I liked how he threw the 45-pound weight bar through right at the camera there, like a javelin.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Do you know the kind of aim you would need to have to actually do that? Impossible.
Ridiculous.
Even for Rip. Completely impossible. So that was the biggest stretch of the movie for me. Just kidding. But it was a stretch. All right.
I think it was Rip getting Joan Severance. I think that was a pretty big stretch.
No, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that, my friend. The whole dynamic there, Logan, was very interesting, to say the least. So let's move on to least favorite scene. What do you think, like, really didn't work?
Well, I as much as I say that, and I will say Joan Severance is very hachi-machi in this movie, very, very hot. But her whole character and specifically the hotel scene, I just it was so uncomfortable, and like they kind of mimicked that at one point. I think Rip's doing like push-ups off the side of the bed, but it's like she's on one side of the sheet and he's on the other side, and it seems like he's like whacking off or whatever. So it was just the sexual tension there was really strange, and it never really pays off. So I'm not sure her character was super important to the whole thing, but you know, yeah, just that whole hotel scene where they're just kind of sleeping in the same bed, but they have the sheet running down the middle of the room is just uncomfortable, and kind of the sexual tension is just like unreal.
Yep. So that was also my least favorite scene, Logan. I made a note, though, that the thing that might save it was Rip's pink underwear that he wore in that scene. That was pretty nice. But yeah, the push-ups, and then she looks over, and it's like, I think it was supposed to be his, it was his feet, but they made it look like his ass, I think. It was just like very, very odd. And I think just in general, I think we can say that the way that she's portrayed and the way she's treated in this movie, not great. Just not great across the board.
Oh, absolutely not. No, not at all. Yeah, she gets kind of beaten up at a couple of points, and it's just it's not something that would fly at all today. So it's just kind of uncomfortable at points. But yeah,
even the first board, like when he first meets her in that boardroom scene, and like she's portrayed as like a, you know, being as, you know, she's trying to be like the serious businesswoman, and all Rip is interested in is like her legs and stuff. Like, just very cringy. Really, really, the whole dynamic, I don't think really added much to the movie, because what they accomplished with it, like, you already accomplished it with Rip's brother.
Yeah, right? That's what I was going to say.
So, like just... That all could have ended out on the cutting room floor. And I don't think Joan Semperance, I think she did her best with what she was given as far as a character, but her character's not, doesn't have a lot of depth there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either. Her escape from the two, from Briscoe and Patterson, was pretty comical though, where she's able to escape after they kidnap her just because they're like really into the wrestling. Like, that was probably pretty true to life.
Yeah, that's even more Briscoe Patterson for sure. Yeah, but like you said, with her whole character, like, you know, like you said, Rip's brother is the big, you know, like he builds the sympathy, so Rip can kind of have that rage in him to kind of go after Zeus. So yeah, like she doesn't really play much into that. So like, either they could have gotten rid of her and kept the brother, or done her and him been her been a little bit more important to him and played that kind of role with her.
Yeah, because if you think, even in the final fight scene where she had been kidnapped, but like the real like shitty thing that Zeus does is Randy falls out of the chair and Zeus kicks him while he's on the ground after he fell out of the wheelchair. Like, you know, like we said, she didn't. I think there was a role for her, but it just. Like, I think they just kind of went the wrong way with it, right? Like, you could just, she could be his agent, just leave it at that. Or she could just be, like, Rip's girlfriend and just leave it at that. Like, the way they tried to make, like, a little bit of a love story out, it was very, very kind of ham-handed. Like, it would, even for, like, WWE, like, it was, like, shitty, even for, like, a WWE, like, love storyline, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, like, I don't want to say this and sound weird, but, like, Hulk Hogan's character in wrestling is, like, the least sexual character I could think of, possibly, other than the fact that he's, like, ripped and stuff like that. But, like, he's just not somebody that you want to see, like, you know, get with the girl in the end. Like, he's not somebody that's, like, it portrayed in that way at all. So it's kind of just weird seeing him in that light.
Right. Because even, remember, with, like, the Miss Elizabeth stuff, like, he was never, it was always, like, it was a misunderstanding, right? Like, he's never, did they ever put him with a girl? I don't think they did, right? Not once.
Not until WCW, when he was with the NWO, they kind of had their ladies that were with them. Well, but, like, that wasn't, like, a direct relationship or anything like that. So, no, not really.
And Hollywood Hogan, different character.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood Hogan. You know, he's out there.
He gets all the babes.
He's out there. It's the black and the beard does it for him, you know. So, all right. Good stuff, Logan. So this should be our next category should be chock full of potential winners. Logan, what was the single most ridiculous thing in this movie to you?
I'm going to have to go with the guy shitting his pants when he, like, gets the limo driver shitting his pants when he gets grabbed by Rip when he's about to fight, or when he's fighting all the goons at the beginning of the movie, when he says, Dookie! And, you know, JT and Aaron rip on that one all the time. So, yeah, that's the absolute most ridiculous part, I think. What do you think?
That was close. There's so many. There's so many. But the snooty waiter at the really nice restaurant, but everybody, you know, turns out Rip goes there all the time. Totally totally ridiculous, right? And, that was one. The Rip foiling the robbery at the restaurant by throwing food at the guys with guns.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was ridiculous. The whole limo scene, end to end, the whole limo scene probably wins it for me. Just like even the way they shot it, like it was like they just took this car and just drove it into other cars. Like Rip's like he's kicking the car so hard from the inside. So think of it this way. He basically just like kicks through a car door, but he can't get through that little divider.
Oh yeah, just to pound the limo driver's ass. Yeah,
like what are you doing? You know, like...
Yeah, I was like, him trying to kick the door open is just absolutely insane and ridiculous for sure. But yeah, the other ones you mentioned are for sure crazy and ridiculous, of course.
And the insult that Brill uses that I don't think I had ever heard before and don't think I've ever heard since, jockass. Like what? Yeah, where did he come up with that jockass?
Well, he's an athlete and he's a jackass, so I guess he just kind of combined the two. But yeah, definitely creative using of words there by Brill.
Yeah, and I mean that's what he said right before I don't have it in front of me, so I have to rewatch it again. But I believe his last words may have been jockass. I know he says it. The control room there, and I believe he yells jockass and then gets electrocuted. But
I think you're right. That's
as far as like bad ways to go out, that's got to be at the top of the list, right?
Just absolutely.
Like, and I still don't really get what he was doing in there. Like, I get he's pissed off, but. He's not a jockass, so why is he destroying the control room? Like, I mean, just a dummy, just a right at the top of the list of like dumb ways to die.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess he just thought everything was falling apart around him, so like Zeus was his cash cow. So the fact that he was getting beaten kind of he was just like, I want to cancel the network and rip everything to shreds. I don't have anything to live for anymore. But he dies on accident, so it's not like he did it on purpose, but like destroying a property. Yeah. I also don't really get why he did that, but I guess it's kind of him losing the will to like go on with his career.
Yeah. And I mean, Hogan's big move in this was, Rips. I'm sorry. It was the double axe handle. What do you think of that? He hit a couple of them in the movie.
Just having watched wrestling my whole life is pretty weak considering what kind of other devastating moves you've seen throughout the years. But at the time, I could see it, you know, with really strong arms, you could really make it devastating, I guess. But after some of the crazy crap I've seen throughout the years watching wrestling, it's just, it didn't do it for me, I guess.
Zeus, solid heel, plotter. Is he your kind of wrestler, Logan?
Not really. I'm really a big fan of the big guys, but, I mean, he played his part and he was intimidating and he has the whole, you know, he has the eye that's crazy looking and all that stuff. And, but yeah, he's intimidating and plays that kind of irresistible force pretty well. Were you a big fan of him?
Oh, I loved him. Loved him, loved him, loved him. I love the unibrow that he has, like the real pronounced unibrow. I thought that added to it. I like the Z, the big Z on the belt. When he first in the lug wrench match, and I wish he would have broken this out more, he had that chain mail that he wore, which I popped. That was, I mean, I, so he was my guy. Perfect, right in line with what I like in a wrestler. Just a tank.
Yeah, I've always been more of a fan of like the high flyer kind of guys, but that's just kind of what I grew up with. So the big guys have never really gotten. I mean, I like seeing people get chucked around and stuff like that, but I've always been a bigger fan of the smaller guys for sure.
You wouldn't be the first guy to give me a hard time about that.
No, you're good. I understand. I understand the magnetism of it all. So I totally get it.
If you heard the story, I went to. So quick tangent, and for the folks, I hadn't watched wrestling in a long time, and my first show back, I went live to the Royal Rumble that Batista won, that where Daniel Bryan was supposed to be in it, or that people thought he would be in it, and he wasn't in it, and I had no idea. Like I bought a Batista T-shirt, and I was like, I was excited that Batista won, and everybody was like, people were like saying negative stuff to me and stuff, and so. I kind of just owned it as the heel. So when Batista won, I got up and pointed to the back of the shirt. You know, fuck all you guys. I actually wrote a column for the website talking about, you know, why Daniel Bryan was weak. You should read it. It was really good.
Oh, I think I did read it back in the day for sure.
You're like, who is this guy? All right. Next up, Logan. Back to the movie. So we talked a little off air about this, but 80s movie, wrestling movie. Talk to me about the music in the movie and what your thoughts were there.
I'll say Jim Johnson's the guy that did the music for the WWE for like 20, 30 years. You can definitely tell his influence in this movie from the music standpoint. A lot of it's very pro wrestling sounding, and the main theme of the movie that's titled No Holds Barred, it's a good song. It's a pretty solid tune. So but yeah, they didn't use a ton of like songs per se, but they did a lot of beats and a lot of like theme music kind of sounding music, I guess, is what you could, just a lot of compilation kind of things. But yeah, you can definitely tell Jim Johnson's influence on it. It's very, very pro wrestling for sure.
Absolutely. I agree. Very 80s.
Yeah. And very 80s for sure. Yeah.
So I felt like they kind of directly ripped off like the Rocky movies a little bit, like especially if you think about right after Rip busted up Zeus's gym, they do that training montage where Zeus is on the machines and doing the seated rows and stuff. And Rip is helping Randy walk again, yada, yada. I felt like that was like directly out of like Rocky IV, and the music very similar too at that time. But I thought overall, in the kind of the compass of the movie, I feel like the music definitely worked. Like I feel like it was a good soundtrack for this movie. Probably not something where I'm hanging out on a Saturday night and I want to put something on. I'm probably not going to pop in the No Holds Barred soundtrack. But as far as being good for the movie, I thought it was very good for the movie.
Yeah, the music definitely went with the scenes very well. So it worked very well in tandem with the movie, but it's not something you would want to listen to on the weekend for sure.
So Logan, we're going to do this category for every movie. Some of it, you know, where there's been some time. Think about today, 2021. Once they start really releasing movies again and we can all go back to the movie theaters, do you think No Holds Barred would work as a movie today?
With how cartoony it was in this version, I don't think you could necessarily go at it in that direction. I do think you could use the evil TV executive kind of role to like you create kind of an underground fighting or underground wrestling league somewhere and encompass somewhere in a movie. You definitely couldn't do it exactly like this movie was in the fact that it was kind of cartoony, but I think you could definitely take the parts of it and put it together. You could kind of have the evil TV executive create his own network and kind of, you know, start this like underground crazy kind of underground fighting ring or something like that in a kind of a TV show, and build it kind of around a wrestler or something like that, you know, some kind of fighter. But I think parts of it could work, but I don't think the whole thing, like the whole movie as a whole, could work today.
Yeah, I'm more of a hard no than you on this one.
Gotcha.
I think at best it's like a straight to DVD kind of deal. The things that I think like make it so it wouldn't, like it really wouldn't work today. Like I have trouble seeing a movie coming out today that is like what kayfabe, right? Or like that portrays wrestling as 100% real.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I think the veil's been lifted there. I mean, it was great. I mean, even like think of it, like Ryder, my nephew, was really into wrestling when he was 8, 9 years old. And he never thought it was real. So, I think, like I said, the veil's kind of been lifted there. So that piece specifically, I don't think would work. I think, like, to your point, you could do it where if you lifted that and then it was the crazy evil network executive, that could work. And then the other stuff, as we kind of alluded to, it is just like the stuff with Joan Severance, like that would never ever fly today. Nor should it.
It shouldn't.
So I think you could do like a ripoff of this, no pun intended there. but I can't imagine, like, this got an actual real theatrical release. So I went to see this, like I said, I went to see it when I was born in 79 and this came out in 89. So I was either 9 or 10. And the funny thing is Brill, do you know what else Brill was in?
Nah, I've never seen him in anything else. Well, what else was he in?
So I think it was literally in my memory, I feel like I saw these movies at the theater a week apart, but maybe it was a little longer than that. But Brill was the heel in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, I've seen that before, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, so I remember, because I remember watching No Holds Barred in the theater. I saw it first, and then I remember watching Ghostbusters 2. Ghostbusters 2, clearly the bigger movie. I mean, that was the first Ghostbusters was a massive, massive, massive hit. So Ghostbusters 2 had a lot of steam behind it. And I remember watching again with my dad and just being like, why is the guy from No Holds Barred doing this movie too? But he was a shitbag in Ghostbusters 2 as well. But I can't imagine a movie like this getting a full, real theatrical release today.
Yeah, I think the plot just in itself is so cartoony that like it would take it would be really hard to kind of you'd almost have to do like MMA fighting or turn it like kind of into MMA fighting or some sort, like maybe use fighters instead of wrestlers. So I could see maybe that something like that work, and maybe like a Fight Club kind of thing, but like have it be on TV and nationally produced and stuff like that. But yeah, I think you're kind of right in the whole aspect of it being wrestling and stuff like that. You're never going to get that kayfabe back that you had back then. Because like even Hulk Hogan in this movie, like if you love his character as a wrestler, you would love Rip as a character, because it's like we said, it's the exact same, pretty much the exact same character for sure. And yeah, I mean, I think if you were a big fan of Hulk Hogan back then, that like Rip is right up your alley. He's a good hero for sure.
Yeah, very similar. Tough to like one and dislike the other, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So now, Logan, with all that said, let's say you and I we have an unlimited budget. We're going to release No Holds Barred today. Full theatrical release. Because we want to. Because we're wrestling fans. We're nostalgic. We know that it's not going to make a friggin' dollar. But we're going to do it anyway. My question for you, my friend, is what wrestler would replace... Who would you cast as Rip today?
Okay, so I batted around 2 in my head. I feel like the obvious answer is Roman Reigns. He's kind of the badass with, you know, he kind of seems like a tough guy and could beat somebody in a fight. And the other one I thought of was Drew McIntyre, because I think he could be like the good big hoss guy that can kind of take on Zeus and really, you know, he has the kick that he does as his finisher. So I think he could kind of kick him off the perch into the ring and it explode when he lands. So those are the two that I really thought. I'd probably go with Roman just because I feel like he's a little bit more. I think he's a little bit more at that point in his career where he could like be in movies and like that could what he could kind of stick with. And I think Drew's more kind of still into the wrestling part of it. So I'll go with Roman for sure. What about you?
Yeah, let's unpack Drew McIntyre a little more. That one surprised me. So, man, every time he talks, I think of the guy from Austin Powers, because they have, like, that same, you know, that same accent. And it just, like, I can't, like, I have trouble taking him seriously, like, specifically for that reason. Do you think the Scottish accent plays as Rip? Or do you think he has to... do what a lot of actors do and like, you know, use like a Boston accent or something.
Yeah, he might have to mask it, but I think he kind of has he has more of like a grovelly kind of Scottish accent. So I think it kind of makes him sound a little bit tougher. So I think he could probably pull it off if he just kind of really went into the like tough guy kind of voice with it. But yeah, he could probably change his voice and maybe be taken a little bit more seriously in that role.
Randy.
He's just such a big hoss that I could see him kind of being like a badass and going up against Zeus. So I guess that's more what I thought, because he's just jacked and freaking huge.
Oh, he, yes, visually, absolutely. I'm trying to picture him. Like, I'm trying to picture him in that like the hotel room scene. Why did you? I can't even do it. But that's funny. That's funny. I like it. All right, so my answer probably surprised no one, but I will go with the best actor in the history of wrestling entertainment, and that would be one Dave Bautista.
Gotcha. Yeah, I could definitely see him whooping up on some Zeus and some of those other goons that he messed with.
Yeah, but I think he also, like, I think he's proven with some of his other roles that he can do the comedic stuff a bit too, you know? And I think the one tricky thing is he doesn't quite have that wholesome Zeus image, and he's a little older. So It's not perfect, but if I'm paying for the movie and I get to pick who Rip is, I'm picking the animal.
Oh yeah, I definitely think that would be a good one for sure. Yeah, and he's obviously proven that he has the chops to be in comedies and action movies and all that kind of stuff. So he's definitely a good pick, and I could definitely see it. Yeah, like you said, he might not have that like wholesome character that Hulk could play, but yeah, I definitely could see him being the badass in those kind of fighting scenes for sure.
Absolutely. And would you, if we were making this today, would you still use Jockass?
I just think it's so funny. So yeah, I would probably still throw that in there. I wonder if Brill
still alive. I bet we could get him to reprise the role. I bet he doesn't have too much going on.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like I said, I hadn't seen him in too much else. So he definitely might use the paycheck for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be huge for him. We might be onto something here, Logan. We review the movie, and then we make the movie.
Absolutely. Let's get it done.
Kurt Fuller is Brill. He's definitely around. So he made a movie in 2018, Office Uprising.
Yeah, he's 67 years old, so he can just be like the cranky old TV executive now. So
the last movie he was in that I believe that I saw was The Pursuit of Happiness in 2006. That was not as a similar role to Brill, I don't believe. Very good movie. Not one we'll be reviewing on here, but a very good movie.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Real tearjerker.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think I could handle crying on that one.
never. So, Logan, those are our categories. I think we've done a good job here of kind of giving the people kind of an overview of No Holds Barred. What are your final thoughts? Just your final takeaways on the movie. We talked a little about what we liked, a little about what we didn't like. Just when, now that you've seen it for the first time, when someone mentions No Holds Barred, what little paragraph's going to play in your head?
Kind of what I said at the open of the show, just absurdity, like, completely the whole time, but it's absolutely fun. It's a ton of fun to watch Hulk Hogan kind of dip his toes in the acting scene, and like I said, Joan Severance was fun to look at, and Brill played a really, really, really good bad guy, so he was really kind of a dick. The only problem that I have with his death is I kind of wish that Rip would have gotten a little bit... kind of roughed him up a little bit before that happened. Maybe if he accidentally threw him into the electrical equipment, that would have been a more satisfying ending for me. But like I said, ton of fun, absolutely absurd, and I think I would definitely watch it again. It might not be something I watch again for a while, but if I get bored on a Saturday sometime and I just want to watch a movie, I might flip it on for sure. What about you?
Yeah, so it's interesting, Lo. Like, I remember react to what you said there. It's interesting because, I mean, really what you're advocating for there is that Rip commits, I don't know if it's murder, it's definitely manslaughter at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess I wouldn't want him to kill him, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, you know, he kind of...
I am just messing with you. I agree.
No, I got you.
that's like you have the wholesome character, the whole movie, and then right at the end he just... puts Brill right into the electrocution.
Well, no, yeah, it could be more of an accident, kind of just like pushed him the wrong way and he fell into the, I mean, not directly just kind of murder him. I wouldn't want to see that for sure, just because it's not the character. So, but I just would have liked to have seen him rough him up a little bit.
Like, we thought Hogan getting the girl was a little out of character. If he gets the girl, and kills a guy, that's way, way out of character. So, very good. Very good, Logan. So he did rough, like, I agree, because he really didn't get a chance to even, like, punch him or any, you know what I mean? Like, right at the beginning, he shoves the check down his throat, right? Other than that, he doesn't really, really beat the shit out of him at any point.
Yeah, because he's breaking into the control center at the end to try and get to him, and then he falls into the electrical equipment and dies. So it's just like that's the only unsatisfying part, or one of the only unsatisfying parts of the movie, is that he just never gets his hands on him after all the stuff that had happened.
And then I think it was, and I meant to bring this up earlier, but this is a good segue to it. I think it was a big miss in this movie that they didn't have Zeus beat the shit out of Brill for the way he treated him, because he was not very respectful to him. You could tell he was playing him like he thought he was just a total dumbass that he could just basically control. And he even says that to him, right? He says, "Turn around, you big dummy," or whatever. Like, I think there's a world where this movie ends with with Rip and Zeus going in and both beating the shit out of Brill and then picking him up and throwing him into the ring, and then the ring goes down. Don't you think that would have been a better ending?
Yeah, I think that absolutely would have been a much, much better. Even what I was talking about, like, Rip getting his hands on him, like, even if he has to die, like, Zeus can kind of come up and help him. Because, he kind of mistreated Zeus, so Zeus could kind of be the guy that, kind of takes care of Brill in the end. But,
would be fine. Zeus killing him would be right on brand for Zeus. That's what Zeus does.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think that could have worked a lot better. Yeah, kind of have them end up being a tag team in the end and going in on Brill. I think that could have worked for sure.
Awesome. So for me, you asked me what my kind of final thoughts were, is... a lot different watching it as a 40-year-old man versus a 10-year-old kid. But I very much enjoyed it. I think for what it is, it's good and it's enjoyable. You just, if someone's going to watch this, they need to go in not expecting, Gladiator, or some other type of Oscar-winning movie. But if you go in, if you're looking for a fun kind of throwback wrestling movie, it's got some pretty funny stuff, and then some pretty over-the-top stuff, and some great Hogan outfits, then I think No Holds Barred could be the movie for you. So, Logan, we're going to be back next month. We don't know what movie we're going to do yet, but we will definitely keep folks posted. We'll probably come a little bit, maybe what, so Logan, I think what we should do is do one that came out after you were born. Can we at least commit? Can we commit to that right now?
Yeah, I think we can do that for sure.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, our home here is on the North South Connection podcast network. And we have more than just this one show on the network. So, Logan, can you tell the folks about some of the great content that's out there right now?
Yeah, there's a bunch of great shows on the North South Connection. We have Wrestling War Zone, where JT and Chad are going through the Monday Night Wars era. They kind of review a Raw and a Nitro of the same week, and then when they get to a pay-per-view, they do the pay-per-views. No Holds Barred is JT and Aaron, and they kind of just go through a hodgepodge of topics. They'll do some classic matches.
Whoa! What was the name of that show?
No Holds Barred.
Wow, huh?
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Where'd they get that from?
I don't know. Maybe they watched this movie at some point. I'm not sure. But yeah, they go through some random topics. They'll watch some classic matches or classic shows. They'll talk about like lists and stuff like that. They'll rank the top performers. They're doing the top performers for each month. Last year they had done like the top shows for each month, like they went through all the years and ranked them all. Extreme Three-Way Dance has JT, Jenny, and D'Amato. They talk about ECW. They're just getting into 96, I believe, right now, so that's a good one. And then there's The Year That Was. I think the newest episode actually came out today on 1996. That's Aaron. He went through all the pay-per-view years, watched all of them, and did different kind of categories and kind of ranked certain things in certain categories, like best matches and best performers of that year. And then my favorite on the feed, the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, that's with Jake Williams. He's going through the 2002 right now. He's getting up to the point where he's almost at Vengeance 2002. He's kind of building to SummerSlam, which is a great show in 2002. And along with that, we have TNA Never Dies, JT's Mailbag every now and then. They have Now Entering the Royal Rumble. A Second Print Comics, which is Mark Claire and Rimzo kind of going through some comic stories that really interest them. Shrink Repped, which is the psychology of superheroes. That's Sean, Jenny, and Tim. And they kind of go into the like psychological thoughts of certain comic book characters. Rank and File with Jordan Duncan. The Gang Gets a Always Sunny podcast. That's Aaron, JT, and Josh Richer. This Week in the NFL with you, Cowboy, and D'Amato, and your dad, and Ryder. A new one that just came out is New Gen on a Mention. That's Justin Pratt and Tim Slomka. They're kind of diving into the new generation era, which they're starting at Survivor Series 1992, and they're going to kind of build to the, which is where Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart fought for the first time, and they're kind of building to the Montreal screw job. So they're going to go through that whole era. Our new show will come out monthly, so that's all we got on the North-South Connection right now. But all of them are great shows. Listen to all of them for sure.
That was a great job you did right there, Logan. You ran through the whole catalog. You even pitched This Week in the NFL. We appreciate that. As you mentioned, we do have our next episode coming up where we're going to preview the conference championships games. We're still trying to peel my dad off the ceiling after Brady's big victory yesterday. So he's pretty excited. I'm more conflicted about it, but it was happy for him. But yeah, so Logan, this was great. I'm excited to do this. Hopefully everybody likes it. If anybody has any suggestions for us or wants to hear us talk about a specific movie, this is brand new, so we're up for whatever. Just shoot me or Logan a message, and we if we watch No Holds Barred, we're pretty much saying we're willing to watch anything. The only requirement is that there is a wrestler in the movie. So, For Mr. Crossland, I'm the cowboy. And this was From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen. I hope you enjoyed it. Take care, everyone.
And it's all because of me.